parents.
Amav. People who live places like Hanof and Ramot Beshemesh. And that is, what happens if you have a scenario that at the end of the bottom of the building, generally underneath the building, there's something called a chalap. Open area, which is, you're able to break through and build in that area. Now, somebody does build over there, and the claim comes about from the other neighbors, what you're doing in that area. That area, who says belongs to you? Maybe it belongs to everybody in the building. Who says it belongs to you that you take the rights of that area? So the first thing we have to establish is that what is the halakhic status of those areas? Who in fact do those areas belong to? We've got an option of maybe four-way or five-way option of how to understand those areas, exactly who they belong to.
Depends how they are. If they're just earth, and they have to be dug out, even or they're left open,
no difference. Left them no difference between whether there's earth or there's empty. Halal area. Now, let's first clear and discuss whether maybe it belongs to the Kablan, the one who built and owned the property before he sold the building. This shaila came up in a certain town about 15 years ago in Beis Din. And that's a Kablan had sold all the property which he built, and then about 10 years later after he sold it, suddenly one day the neighbors woke up with banging noises. And what had happened is the Kablan had come around and started building on top of everybody's roofs.
The original Kablan?
The original Kablan had come back and started building on everyone's roofs another two floors. So of course all the neighbors went to basin against the Kablan and said, what are you doing? So Kablan's claim was, I sold you your property, but everything I didn't sell still belongs to me. Therefore, the rights of the roofs still belong to me, and therefore I have a right to build another two floors. That was his thing.
And there was building rights?
Hmm?
There was building rights for that?
He got building rights. He managed to get the building rights.
Maybe we have building rights.
Hmm?
Maybe we have building rights.
No, he never had the building rights. It was a later stage he applied for the building rights. Now, Beis Din, when it came to it, looked at the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says that halachically, when you sell something, the seller sells whatever is written he sold. Whatever is not written in the contract, he has not sold. So if it's not clearly written, the rights of any area has been given over to the buyer, then it automatically belongs to the seller. And therefore, the Kablan had a claim. I never actually wrote down in these contracts that these roofs belong to
anyone.
Therefore, I maintain the ownership of these roofs, and therefore I have the right to build.
Don't roofs belong to everyone in the building? For example, if the realtor faulty and they need to repair them, then everyone has to pitch in, because we learned this before, they'll damage the first guy and then the next guy and the next guy. So they all are joint ownership of a roof.
That's not a proof who owns it. That's a proof of we're both being affected by something, so therefore both of us need to fix it. Doesn't mean we both own it. But in fact, the halacha obviously does not belong to the Kablan, even though it's not written in the contract. Why? Because the minag, which is being built based on the chok, the secular law, had instituted how they look at things. And because of that, over the years, had built up a minhag, so not necessarily relying on secular law, because that's the whole issue, can you rely on secular law, but it had created a minhag that the status of things is, whatever you sell is, when you sell something, if you want to keep back any rights, then you have to mention those rights beforehand, otherwise we assume everything is sold. The opposite of actually how the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch look at things, the secular law had built in and created a minhag where the opposite now is true, that when anything is sold, we assume everything is sold unless you hold back any rights. Okay.
So can I put in the Heskim as pi the chok of the country?
No, because that's a bad notion to say. As pi the minhag of the country.
But it doesn't mean that I'm holding out the chok. It's just I'm using the chok as the rule.
There's a Taz, and there's a Shulchan Aruch that based on the that says you can't even write that we are obligated to feed the secular law. You can say we're obligated to do this and this, which happens to be the secular law. That you can write. You can't use the words the secular law. That we discussed a few weeks ago. Now, so the Kablan's out of the picture. They have been sold, but now that it's been sold, who does these areas which haven't been mentioned belong to? I own apartment 14, you own apartment 10. What about the roof which is not mentioned in any of our contracts, or the halal which is also not mentioned in any of our contracts? Who do these belong to? It doesn't belong to the Kablan because he didn't say, I keep back these rights. Sometimes he does write them. But this, in most cases he doesn't, so therefore it's automatically sold. But automatically sold to who? So if you look at number one, you see the loshon of the folk, the sect of the law, and it says like this. Kol chelki habeis hamashutaf, any part of a building which is a joint, all our buildings are joint ownership, chutz me'adira shebo, except for the actual apartments, below Yochel the Yos Eifer Sofik, it's never possible to have a doubt who it belongs to. He called Chelik Shabbos and Meshutav She'ein Adira, anything that is in a building which is not clearly your apartment, Heina Behechruch Ruchush HaMeshutav. Automatically, status quo is, if it's not said as being yours, it automatically belongs to everybody. Therefore, the Mepesit said, Yoda Nitzabem Shefagag, that is called Meshutav, it's called, it belongs to everybody in the building. So therefore, when something is bought in the building, automatically it's sold, everything's sold, and automatically it's sold, everything, and anything which isn't clearly mentioned is automatically belonging to everybody. So therefore, it is not written in a contract. The roof or the halal, automatically the roof and the halal are flowing to everybody in the building. Now we've established the ownership of these areas are jointly owned by everybody who lives in that building.
This is what? The chok?
The chok.
Which is the minhag.
Which is now, when everything is built up, now that when we write contracts, it's based on, over the years, going in the fee, how we understand the chok, and therefore it's now created a minhag, that when it's sold, everything is sold, and it's sold, if it's not the famously written, to everybody in the building.
The chok created the minhag,
meaning the nafka minhag. If the law would have come out 2 weeks ago, then we would not be bound by this.
Right.
Because it hasn't yet created the minhag.
Right.
But since the last 35 years, the chok has been around, and people have been using it and following it, therefore it has now created such a status that it's automatic. That is what we understand we're doing when we sell it. That's called a minhag.
But if the Knesset's changing all the time, tweaking with the chok.
The tinkering doesn't affect us until it becomes a minhag.
Right.
So we establish now all areas in the building which are not nefariously written automatically belong to everybody who live in the building. Therefore the halal underneath the building is a joint ownership of everybody. So now, let's go to our first intern. Reuben and Shimon live in the building and they both live on the bottom floor.
The halal belongs to everyone.
Everybody, the halal.
How far out does the halal go?
Okay, discuss it. The question is at the end. Reuben and Shimon live in the building, they live at the bottom floor. There is a halal underneath. Reuben and Shimon want to use that halal, but they have different ideas of how to use it. Reuben wants to connect half the halal to him and extend his apartment. And you, Shimon, can take the other half and extend your apartment. Shimon says, I don't need to extend my apartment. What I want to do is build in the whole area together, make one big apartment down there, and rent it out, and we'll split the profits. The business. Who has more to say to, who is correct more in doing that? Assuming all the other neighbors don't mind, and it's up to Reuben and Shimon to decide, who can, do we follow in such a case? Does it say, ah, Reuben, yes, you want to sell your apartment, you can take half the halal, and Shimon, you take the half, or do we, Shimon's correct and say, no, let's build together, and we rent it out and make a rental out of it. Do you want to extend your do you want to make a business venture? No, no, we're not splitting the area, we're just splitting the profits. You want to split the area, I want to split the profits.
But that's if the hook is like that. The hook is not like that. No. We went to discuss it, we went to take advice on the hook. The hook said that who comes, who takes, gets first. Who comes first, gets taken.
No, the hook says it's not sensible.
We went to the Bad Ab, Misrad Abad.
Yeah, no, no, it's not true. We're just without the hook.
Where did we do?
What? Yeah? Who has rights to... Yeah, so what do you do? Stand off. What do you do? So we're assuming in the first case, in our first case tonight, we're assuming that all the neighbors said, okay, Reuben and Shimon, you can do what you like. Now there's a discussion between Reuben and Shimon, what to do?
So, you're allowed to Reuben. Reuben's, they're both bar mitzvahs. So they should have a right of... The halacha then, I would think, is that Reuben has control over only half, and Shimon has control over half. So Shimon can't impose his view on Reuben.
Okay. As you're saying that, sure, they split it. Physically split it. And they, that's how you split it. So let's look at number two. The shulchanach brings down a machlokas. Achim or shufin shabar lachlok hasotah. Partners who are going to split up a property. Little called echos chelko. They're going to take everyone their portion. Im hoisav kula shov legami. Everything is equal. Chokin lefiyah mitzvah bovat. Then you just split it down the middle. Vim ome echos. If one says, tunuli chelki misadzeh. Give me this part. Kadeshe somach lesodzeh achashli. In order that it should be next to my property. Give me this part in order that it should be next to my property. Vim kula sodzeh echos. In order that I should have one big property. Sherman though, we listen to him, even against the other person's objections. For Kofanos Alzesh, Yaakov is there with his stone. Because it's mid the stone to go against his wishes. It's mid the stone to go against his wishes. He wants to have his chelek, his property next to him. And therefore it's mid the stone to force him to listen to you.
But one wants to lachlok and the other one doesn't want to.
Yep.
In our case.
Yes.
So, this didn't answer. They said they're coming to be cholek.
Yes.
But one doesn't want to be cholek, so what do you do?
So normally the halakha is, if you have a big enough piece of land which we jointly own, you can't force me to stay with you as a partner. We can split it and both use it physically, so therefore I can force the split and say, I'm splitting it and I want this portion if this is better for me. As long as you're not losing by me taking this portion rather than that portion. You can use as well, it's beneficial for you to take it. I can force the split if it's possible to split. That's the normal halakha of shukr. So, in theory, over here, therefore Reuben, who says, I don't want to stay as a partner, I want to split, we've both got 50% rights in it, and I want to split away from you, I can force that split, and not only force it, I can choose which portion, because I'm not, by choosing this portion, I'm not taking any bad things are going to happen to you, you're just as well going to have the same benefit of being able to connect that part to your building, and I'd be able to connect my part to your building, and we're not losing by the split. That's what it seems by the shulchan.
You might be losing financially.
In what way?
You're getting more profit financially.
Yes, but the only way you can make money is by forcing me to stay with you. That you can never force me to stay with you, according to what the shulchan offers said. However, it does not apply over him. You cannot force the slit over him. And I'll tell you why. Partners can always force themselves to be split because the understanding is we came into the partnership together, not for to be married to each other. We'll go as long as we can and then we can split. That's the understanding of every partnership. That sometimes, not a lot of times, the partnership is not for no longer ed, and therefore the understanding of entering the partnership was that we can always split eventually. As Rav Osman says, when we're talking about areas in the building which are under joint ownership, like the Cheder Madrigot, the roof, the Chalal, we're all joint owners in these areas. To come along and say, well, I want to split away from you, I take a bit of the Cheder Madrigot to me, and it's not going to affect you because I'm the top floor. Or I'm going to take the Chalal because I'm at the bottom, it's not going to affect you. You can't do that because you didn't come in as a partner to say, oh, we're doing a business deal and eventually there's understanding that we're going to split away. This is a partnership which is no longer at. That's a partnership which has been set aside as, this is a Cheder Madrigot, it's going to stay a Cheder Madrigot. How can you take away the Cheder Madrigot? There's never understanding that we enter into such a deal that eventually we're going to take away parts and parts of each of the joint areas and split it up. It's not such a thing. Therefore, this type of partnership is not possible to split away without the consent of all parties. In such a thing. And therefore, Shimon is correct in saying, I don't want to split, I want to stay together with you. It's a public area which has no, it's not omer, it's not there to be split, naturally, and therefore, you have to stay a partnership with me, and therefore we have to build together and rent it out if we're going to get any benefit from this area.
But isn't the minhag that with the halal, you only go beyond your area? You don't do a joint thing and rent it out. I think that's what the minhag would be.
The minhag of what?
We're always looking at the minhag of what people are.
Yes.
No hag.
Minhag of what? When we entered into the deal together, then
halal.
What does minhag do? Minhag does, we entered the deal, and the minhag says what type of deal we did. Yes? But here we didn't enter together as a partnership. So we entered together, and this is the minhag we're going to split away. Yes?
No,
is that how it is?
I believe it is, because when people buy, many times the Kabbalah and we're actually marketing it. There's a halal behind this one, and there's a halal behind that. You buy it with the intention that you are going back into your
right.
area,
right.
and somebody else is going to back into their area.
The whole of Lachish is right.
So in a few minutes, we'll discuss why that does not apply. That does not apply. We'll discuss that.
You come here illegally and you're not
yeah. up there. Even though it's not in the contract, so it's definitely part of the business.
We started the share that halal belongs to everybody in the building. It belongs to everybody. Everything that's sold is sold to, and automatically, if it's not clearly written, automatically it belongs to everybody in the building. Everything that is in the area of the building, considered their shetach.
The chaniyah as well.
The shetach of the building.
The chaniyah as well.
Whoever is rishumed under the building, the area, is considered shukfis for the whole building. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The perimeter building doesn't bother me. The perimeter of the shetach house resumed in Tabo of what belongs to the building.
The halals are actually considered to be the building.
They don't go back beyond the building.
Halals are not part of the building.
They don't go back
they're
beyond
not,
the building.
They're considered, but the land where the buildings are and the areas surrounding it
they
are considered the areas of the building. And we say
that's
automatically,
even 3 points down.
That way, but he
if it's outside the perimeters of what's resumed in Tabo. That's a different story.
Do owners that don't have access to this halal?
We're going to discuss that. Now. Okay, so let's move on now, like to say this. We have a case of basin, which comes about 8, 9, 10 times a year. And it's like this. Let's take the most kitsuni case. That Reuven is doing shibbutzim in his dira. Yeah, he's doing shibbutzim. He's on the bottom floor. He does
on the
no one floor. Really knows what type of shibbutz he's doing. All he's informed the neighbours. He says he's doing shibbutz. It's going to be a bit noisy for the next month and a half.
Six months, that's usual. 6 months.
He builds. What is he doing? He's digging underneath his apartment and he's building inside the halal. Another 120 meters. Yeah. Really, he's only got permission for 60. That's a little more. Now, he's built there. The neighbors now find out. Sometimes, let's say this case, 5 years later, they found out that he built a halal down there. And now they come with spear to basin. That halal belongs to us, as we're ready to establish. You built in our property. Yes, you built in our property. We're making two claims. One is, if you want to build in our property, you have to pay for it. Not the market rate like we discussed last week, but we want to make you pay huge amounts of money in order to keep it over there. It's our property. If you don't want to pay that price, then give it back to us. Second claim, 5 years you've been using our property, you owe us rent. So, how do we look at that case? Do we look, yes, it belongs to them.
Why can't you turn around and say, I don't have to pay you rent because I'm just as entitled to use it as you, and you can have it back?
How much are you entitled to use? There's 14 building people in the building. You're allowed to use 1/40.
Who says I can use the whole of the cheder madrigot? What's to stop me using the whole of the cheder madrigot? I can go up there as much as I like. And they, you can't tell you can only use one.
You can't store anything
there.
Any
what are your rights to the cheder madrigot?
Everybody can use.
So you can build in the whole cheder madrigot. I know what I've got. Right to build in the whole cheder madrigot. You don't have to use the cheder. I'm going to use the cheder madrigot.
That's why he can say he's got access, the same as everybody else. Secondly, he can say to him, have it, but you can't have any access, you've got no access to it.
But he put a swimming pool there.
So now the question is, this halal often is useless to everyone else in the building. And the only one who has access to it is the bottom person. Does that make a difference to the halacha? We're saying the ownership belongs to everybody, but the actual practical use of it, the only one who really can practically use it is the bottom guy. Is that enough of a use to say that gives it over or not? So let's look at number four. Shulchan Aruch says like this. Shulchan Aruch says like
this.
You can't put a swimming pool in Madrigal. You can't put a swimming pool in Madrigal.
Chazor b'chotzer chavera. Somebody lives in a chotzer that belongs to his friend. Shlomo Data, without his knowledge, if Omelo said, then there's nothing to talk about. If he says get out, you have to get out. But if it's a type of property which you can't, no one can rent, then the one who's used it without permission doesn't have to pay rent. Because at the end of the day, I got benefits, but you didn't lose. What could you have done with it? It belongs to you. Yes, I used your property. Yes, but what did you lose by me using it? I got benefit, but you lost nothing. Zanana, Zaino Kosi, you didn't lose. No. Didn't lose anything. Says the Ramah, Feva, Zafka Shikabar Dob. That's, we're talking about the past. Do you have to pay for the rent? We say you don't have to pay for the rent because you lost nothing for me using it. You can't force somebody to say, I'm going to take your property and use it because you're not losing rights. I can't force you to give over your rights to the property and me live there. I normally would say we can force somebody, if you don't lose, you can force somebody to do it. You don't lose. That's only with something where if the owners want to get Hanoah, they can't get Hanoah, so they don't lose. By you moving in, they're not losing anything. But in the case where in theory he could rent it out, and by you living there, you are stopping him renting out, then you have no right to force yourself into his property. So, what's the Ramah saying? The Ramah is saying, firstly, he's saying, everyone agrees, once you live there and you've lost nothing, you don't have to pay for rent in the past. Can you now say, well, you got property there, for halal, you're getting no benefit from it, I'm going to take it, even under your objections, because you're not losing. Can I do that? No, says the Ramah. Why, says the Ramah? Because you're losing, because you could rent it out. By me forcing myself in there, you're going to lose because you could rent it out.
I'm lost.
You're saying cash 22. You can't.
Reuven, let's use names. Reuven's got, wants to use the halal which belongs to him.
Yeah.
He's already used it for 6 months without somebody's knowledge.
He lives at the top.
So he's saying, does he have to pay rent for those 6 months? No. Because no one's lost any money from the fact he was there for 6 months. He doesn't. Can now Reuven say, I want to continue living there against your objections? Says the Ramah, no, you can't live there against the objections. You have to now, Reuven, move out. Why? Because the rest of the building now wants to use that area by renting out to somebody.
To who? There's no access.
So, according to the Ramah, we see clearly that they can only stop somebody using it with a claim that we want to rent it out to somebody. Since we want to rent it out to somebody, you can't take our property. But if they can't claim that, if they can't say we want to rent it out, then Enoch and Ami, Reuven can use the property against their objections because of the concept of Kofan Amid the same. That's what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah is saying, we force you to give up your right to that property. If you're not losing, what's called losing? Kofen Amitha's stone. We forced you, what's called losing? If you could rent it out, and now because I'm living in there, then that's what I'm making you lose. But if you can't rent it out,
because you have no access.
Because you have no access to it, so you're not losing, then I can actually force you to give those rights to me. I pay for wear and tear. What wear and tear? I'm going to pay for wear and tear. What, you're losing? What wear and tear? Wear and tear what? I'll pay for the wear and tear. I pay. I built the thing.
Don't wear and tear, right? Why can't they claim that during the past 6 months they got rented out of the world? Why is that not all?
I never knew about it.
Last 6 months, yes. What happened the last 6 months?
He left there and they could have got rent from
them. From who? From who? Who could they have got rent from? The only person they could have got rent from is from the bottom floor guy who built it. Yes? Because no one else has access. So that's not cool that we could rent it out.
So what about from now onwards? How's the situation
changed?
They can still only get it from the bottom.
So therefore, according to the Ramah, he can say, I'm staying here against your will because you get no loss, you lose nothing. What? If there's no possibility of access, then no.
Why is there no possibility?
It depends where you're talking about. What type of halal? You say, what type of halal you're talking about? Sometimes there's no way of getting access to it, aside from this person's apartment.
Right. But if it is from the common part,
if there's a way of me using it as well, then the law says I can force you out of there. But if I can't use it, the only one who can use it is the bottom floor guy, then I can't force him out. If you have access and you lost by the fact that he was there, then you could force him to pay for the rent.
But he said that he was one there.
Who?
The guy who's living in
it. No.
They want to throw him out. Let's rent this. I don't want to rent this.
Yes.
Roy wants to rent it out.
No, because we're Shukfim. And Shukfim is that if it can't be used, then I can force you to make a rental. Not for his apartment. So at this stage we're learning that if the only person who's got access is the bottom floor guy, then he's allowed to take the property that belongs to somebody else, use it, no one else is losing it, because they had no benefit of using it in any case. No way of using it in any case. Kofen Amid is stone called Zanana. The Zelokosa. The concept of Zanana Zelokosa. I could be Nana from you because you're not losing by its
thing. We went to the Mr. Got a whole different advice.
Says the lesson, Rab. Yes? Everyone agrees to this? Everyone's happy with
no,
what's going on over here?
No,
one's happy. So you have to explain yourself.
Doesn't reflect the situation.
Okay.
If I put a roof, building, and I can use it,
yes.
I can say, I'm losing because I'm not ready yet. Yeah, there wasn't anything. A guy, Dan Andrews, this exists. He did it. He made it. They didn't do it.
It's for the joint area.
Yes.
Yeah, but okay, so.
But I could.
In that case, if they can say to him, we're losing out now, I say, yeah. He should be able to say, then you pay me for the work.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, for sure. For sure, that's no question, of course. He built, fine. So, but it belongs to them. They say, I built for you, you're going to use what I built, you're going to use it, so you have to pay, fine, we'll pay.
can I just tell you exactly?
We discussed this before.
He's got the man who built it.
He's got the opposite kind of it.
You've improved, yes, but I pay you for the work.
Your apartment because of our space.
Yes. Yes. So. Who must be at? I built in my own area. I built this building to Mashpia for me. And I was Mashpia, if there's access, I'm Mashpia to everybody. I improved everybody's.
If he sells it, he gets the whole price, or he has to get the price of the halal?
If it belongs to everybody, if it belongs to everybody, if it's sold, then the money goes to everybody. We're talking about use here, not selling. Ownership is everybody's. Use, if one person's got access and no one else has got access, then that one person who's got access can use it even against the objections of everybody else. Yes? That's what we're halting at the moment. But.
Let's say they've got access.
If they've got access, then they say we're joint owners. That's clear. We both can use it, so we want
to
use it.
He can come along on the opposite side. He can say, if you use it, I lose out. I've got a dog and dog apartment, so there wouldn't be anyone underneath me disturbing me. You want to use it, I'm going to lose that.
So you go back, we'll go back to the, what do you mean you're going to lose? What are you going to lose?
I've bought the dog and dog.
Yeah.
Is that a tenant, by the way? I don't want anybody living under me.
I bought the bunch of property jobs, there wouldn't be anyone living
there. No, that's not a tiger.
That's what I bought it for.
Well, you have to understand, if you buy it, and there's joint ownership underneath for halal, so that means everybody, there's a possibility that halal could be built.
You made it halal.
It belongs to everybody.
But it wasn't a halal, it was built under there.
Generally, we're talking about there's a halal area, and you just build them. We're not digging out the whole building.
Not digging
under.
Out.
Hardly. Soft earth if it's digging.
My neighbor went and built 10 years ago, dug out 60 meters.
We're not talking about that.
No, I just remember. We went to the Vada, Mr. Andabar.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again. Okay. So the Lechem Rab says like this, number 5. And this is the bottom line. In this shayla. He says, I've got a raya from a tool that says clearly that it's not true what we just said. It's not true. It can't be that something belongs to everybody and one of them can force his rights over it and stop everybody from getting any rights there. Can't be. Why? Because there's a tool that says, Ergod min ha-shutin number 5, pokotzish loka 5, pokotzakes. Somebody buys a house. In the chotzer, when you have the lifter pesach chotzer shopim, he can't open up a new door, even though it doesn't affect anybody. He can't open up a new door. Why? It doesn't affect anybody. Why can't I open up another door? So Kol Echad says, "Ein roshus shaniskal," because you're not allowed to change the structure of the shutuf area at all without the permission of everybody. That's what the Torah says.
Ah,
so the question says lechem lav is. We've got one place that says if it belongs to everybody, you cannot do anything without the permission of everybody. And another place we've got the Ramah that says, well, if nobody loses, you can do what you like. How does it fit? So the answer is, all the postgame answers say like this. There's a big difference between taking ownership of something or just using something. If you're just using something and he's not going to lose, the owner's not going to lose by you using it, you're allowed to use it. Grant his permission. He owns something, he doesn't get any benefit from it. The only one who can get benefit is me. I can use what he has because the concept of Zanana Zelokosa, I can use it. I can use it. But to say that I can take ownership over it and take it as mine, that we never say I can force you to give up your right and take it as my property. That you can never do.
There's no squatter's rights in a law.
There's no such thing. So therefore, if it belongs to somebody, you can't say, well, you're not getting any benefits, so I'm going to take ownership over it. There's no such thing as that. That's in halakha. And therefore, if you build a permanent structure in somebody's property, even though he can't use that property, you're not allowed to do it without the permission of all the neighbors, because that's called taking over ownership of it. You're taking away their ownership away. You're not allowed to take ownership away from people. You're allowed to use people's property. You're not allowed to take ownership away.
Build it and use it. You don't know that.
When you're building something permanently, that's called taking ownership over something.
I'm building it in my house.
You're
making a permanent change in that area of the joint partnership of that area. That's what you're doing.
I'm not making, what is the case exactly?
You open up a new door that goes into the public area over here, so therefore that this public area is now going to be used as your entrance. Now you're changing, now you're giving Dalit, because automatically in time of the Gemara you get Dalit Amos in front of that door. So now you're taking Dalit Amos in front of that door away. Okay. You can never take ownership away even if the other guy's not losing. So therefore you can never build in somebody else's property even if he's not losing. So if the area of the halal belongs to everybody, you're not allowed to build unless everybody agrees. And therefore if you build, everybody. Yes. If you build, you have to get permission. If you don't get permission, the owners can come to you and say, yes, get out or pay.
If I'm building something, I want a music room, let's say. I don't want it as part of my house. I want a room there where I can play the drums and make as much noise as I want. Right? So I'm not trying to own it as part of a room. I'm just making a use for it. So in that situation, he's not trying to say this is my house.
What does he do? He builds a room. That's called making a... Builds a room in a halal, that means I'm taking ownership of the halal.
Ultimately, by building a...
Building any permanent structure is called taking ownership.
So you're saying that if somebody builds a halal under their ground,
not only that, if Rishum and Taba, which happens very often, is five buildings together are considered one building. You don't not only have to get permission from the people in your building, you have to get permission from all five buildings.
All
100 people you have to get permission.
They can all
pay to get money for the... Yes? It says Rav Bosna, if it comes to Basin, anyone who tries and gets over the going right rate, he tries and squeeze money out of the person more than really the value of the actual property is, Basin automatically puts him under psychological pressure. That is a terrible thing to do. And it's a halacha, sisa yosha tov, not to be take more money than what is actually the value of it. But halachically, if he doesn't want to be a kosher he is, and he doesn't take the social pressure, then our hands are limited. At the end of the day, it's his property, and he wants this amount of money.
Isn't the case of the tour where there's a joint chaser and you're changing the status of it? So currently, four, six people have access to join chatzer, you're not allowed to make a new petah to your bais.
That's my petah, yes.
But the case of the halals are different in that there's not joint use of this. Yes, they all own
it. Yeah, but this case of the chatzer, they're talking about even if no one's using those dalet amas where you want to take ownership of it.
Right, but
so no one's using it, I'm not affecting anybody there.
Everyone can see and look out on their chatzer and see there's a beautiful wall here. So right, no one's using it, but you're not allowed to do it because you're affecting...
No, it's not because you're affecting the look. It says the loss on the Shulchan Aruch is because nothing to do with the look. No one cares about the look, and they're not affecting their use because they never use that area in any case. You still can't do it without their permission because at the end of the day, you're taking ownership, which belongs to something else. You're taking ownership of.
And did he ever, they can go back and claim from this person for all the years that he used this for?
Now, can he get the rents? Yes, they can get the rents as well.
Did he ever?
After the fact, they can get the rent. They can get the rent, but the rent is the price of the land of the halal before it's built. Renting the land, the halal, which is minimal. Yes.
What is that?
$5.
No,
yeah. Nothing. No, it's full of dirt. It's full of rubbish.
Yeah. How much somebody would rent an area like this to be able to build something nothing. There and after all his own sales, which is minimum, yes? That's the rent which I'm using. That's how much I'm using of yours.
What is going on?
Why? We're talking underneath the building. We're not going to complicate it outside the no. No, the land belongs to the people in the building. That's not called ownership.
It was original. Excuse me, are we saying under the Chaniyah as well?
Yes, under the Chaniyah.
So you can't build under the Chaniyah without permission?
Without permission of somebody. Now, let me put a little clause over here. What I have given over is the opinion of, let's say, 70 to 80% of the botanim in this country. There is a Khoshiva opinion of 20% of the botanim.
Is that yours?
No. 20% of the botanim of Khoshiva Dayonim, who holds that the ownership or the rights of that area are to the people who have access to it, so not the people who don't have access to it. Chiluk, that is a minority, but a Khoshiva minority.
What are both opinions based on?
The opinion of what I just said is based on this, left and right.
The opinion
is based on the concept of the Maislish. They don't hold of this left and right, and they hold of Kofi and Amid
and Stoke. Are you saying the Chiluk debates as to who owns the halal?
No, everyone agrees the halal belongs to everybody. Yes. Do we say you can take the ones who have right to use it is just the ones who have access to it? Or do we say, no, even if you don't have access to it, you still have a right to object? That is the two opinions flying around.
What's
yes?
The Lechem Rav?
Lechem Rav is the Lechem Mishnah.
Ah. So,
guys, what's an example of someone who just wants use for this halal rather than take ownership, you know, what can he do?
So we're about to say like that. Give an example like this. Now, can somebody, let's move on, can somebody build a mepeset out of their window in the building? You've got a window, they want to now break down the window, make a door, and make a mepeset going out. Without putting stilts on, or anything
into
like that.
Air.
Just into air. Why not? So the Minchas Yitzchok says it's okay. Why is it okay? If you look at number seven, he says it's okay. I've got a raya that it's okay. Nothing. You'll see. Yesh mishukol says shukol zeh eino ele b'chot sechaveh she'ein lo pesachim. Avu chot sechushvutshin she'esh opesef macholonis. If we're talking about the joint chotzer, where it doesn't affect anybody, if you open up new areas, you're not going to create more hezek Korea, for example, right. By... No, because everyone looks in any case. It wrote to the hooks is zib, you can put it out as zib. What's a zib? It's a long pole, a long stick to hang up your washing or anything like that. Yeah, you can put it out, then you can link close by, no one can object. So from here the Minchas Yitzchok says, you see, you're allowed to put out a pole, so you can put out a mepeset as well. If as long as you're not creating any hezek rear, because no one's getting affected by the fact you're over there, because everyone can see into their areas in any case, so you can put out your mepeset as well. Problem is that, lefi how we nowadays build our buildings, and the status of the buildings. What happens if one of those Yerushalmi stones of outside buildings falls off? Who has to fix it? The person who owns the apartment in line with the Yerushalmi stone which falls off, or the whole building has to fix it? The whole building. Why does the whole building have to use it, fix it? It's only the Yerushalmi stone came out of opposite Reuven's apartments. Why doesn't Reuven fix it? Why does the whole building have to fix it? Why does everyone in the building have to fix that Yerushalmi stone which fell out in line with the Reuven's apartments? The whole building has to fix it. Because that's the halakha, that's the chok, even the second rule.
It's understood.
Yeah. You own up to the exterior wall. It's your property.
So why do you have to fix the Yerushalmi stone that falls out? According to the halak, the reason why is because it's defined in secular law and now became the minhag when you buy. Is that what you're doing? Is that all the exterior of the building is a joint ownership? If all the exterior of the building is a joint ownership, so when I build my nefesit, I'm building my nefesit in a joint ownership area. If I'm joining in the joint ownership area, then I have to get permission.
When anybody buys an apartment, it's always on the ask if the guy next door gets a permit to build a nefesit, he can do it.
No. Can't do it.
How far does this go? So what happens when somebody puts in an air conditioner?
Ah. So that.
Only if you get the chatima from everybody.
What about air conditioning?
Yeah. Okay. So.
What about air conditioning? What about air conditioning?
You don't even need that. You can overcome it.
What about air conditioning? Air conditioning is different. Everyone agrees you can do air conditioning. What's the difference? Because air conditioning is not called taking over ownership of the area. It's just called using the area. What's the difference between mefeset and air conditioning? Mefeset, you're building a permanent structure which can't be moved, and you're saying, I now have the ownership of this area. A, air conditioning, which you drill onto the wall, you say, I'm just drilling over here. If you want me to move it, I'll move it a few inches down. This way, this way. It's something which is not defining this space as mine. It's defining, I want to use it. Using, you can use. You can, because there now is a low cost. No, it's not called cost. That's not called cost. That's not called cost. You're not losing by it. Therefore, if you want an example of what's called use, uses like putting air conditioning units on the outside, the exterior, you putting your agalas inside the Chedimet Yogot is called using it. Using it is using it. These are called using. What's called taking ownership? That's when you build.
What happens if you're on the ground floor and you've got a chatzim and you're building that?
Yes, yes, because it's said in your contract that it belongs to you.
But up to what point is the outside of the building part of the outside of the building?
No, your garden belongs to you. That's what it says.
You're going to be connecting to the outside of the building.
No, it's got garden belongs to you.
Something happens with the yoga, the drainage, the whole building has to pay.
Yeah, but that's, they have a right of use in your property, but the property is yours, it's registered as yours. It's registered as yours. It's registered as yours.
Everybody buys an apartment, it's halakha that they're agreeing that somebody gets.
Fine, you're of the minority opinion of the Dayanim out there. You said such a stuff? Yes.
The cream of the
crop. Yes. Okay. Dayanim. But don't be so shocked if you end up in the basin and they pass it like this, because I'm warning you. There's a lot of things like this. Okay.
And if an oven falls off on that ground floor, if an oven falls off in that ground floor apartment, which only that ground floor person has access to, still the whole building has to pay to fix that oven.
Yeah. That's the cause of the difference. Now, let's move on to what they call Achuzei Bnia. Building rights. Who do the building rights belong to? Building rights belong to everybody in the building as well. So if you get building rights by the expense of anybody else, by you taking building rights, you're now affecting other people, then you're not allowed to do that. Without their permission. Let's say the building, sometimes the building rights says, we give to this building 50 meters of building rights. You haven't actually specified
where.
So now you go to the area and you say, I want to build 25, is there 50, and there's 20, 20 fine, there'll be 30 left. But by you taking 20, now there's only 30 left for the other 10 apartments. So now you've taken something which was able for everybody to use, and you're taking it solely for your use. That is not allowed. They gave it to the building. They gave those building rights to the building.
No.
Who gave it to the building?
Shimitabu. You can get changes
of... Who gave it to the building?
Of meterage.
Who gave it to the building?
The plans, regional plans. You can build 2,500 meters here. You build 2,400 meters. There's 100 extra. Is that 100 extra?
Who gives that permission? I have a... Who has jurisdiction over that permission?
No, who, how you use it is fine, but the building owned that right.
If the Kavlan sold the joint space to somebody.
Now, and here's a very important thing. What happens to the Kavlan rights clearly to you? You have the rights to the Chalak. When you sold, you bought your apartment. And that's why I bought that apartment.
He wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, and he doesn't write it in the contract. Doesn't write it in the contract. He writes on a piece of paper because in the contract it's often it's illegal for him to do.
Kablan owns the Kharian.
Yeah,
and he
but he writes it on the second piece of paper. I have sold you the building rights. The only one I charge you extra 100,000 shekels for those building rights. So says the Lechem Rav, it depends if it works whether he was the first one to buy the apartments or he was after the first one. If he was the first one, so the builder owns everything, now he sold one apartment and he's also sold the halal, which he also owns at that stage. But as soon as he sold the first apartment and he doesn't say in that contract, I'm keeping back the rights of the halal, it is automatically the halal is given over to the building with the selling of the first apartment. Now when the Kavlan sells the halal to the second guy, he's selling something which he doesn't own. And that was not valid in the whole sale. If you can get your money back from the Kavlan if you can, or you can try your luck with the Shredim and try and get everyone to agree to give you the rights. So even when you try and get legally the rights, you have to make sure that it's done in a way where you're covered. That's how you do own the Chalak.
Valid sale because he thought he had joint access,
don't
ownership to the halal, but really he gave us the first
place to run it. Yeah, that's a great claim. He can say,
Mechatos,
I want my money back. Yeah.
That's why the basement's full of claims.
So, therefore, that's what we're learning tonight. We're learning tonight not in order to create Dinei Torah against our neighbors, obviously.
But to make sure.
In order to learn for ourselves, that in order that we should know that what seems kosher to us in our minds, how the world runs, is not necessarily kosher according to our halacha. Just because you have the bottom apartment doesn't necessarily mean that you have total rights to halal and anyone else who tries and stops you is a Russian. He's not persuaded to ask more than the going rate of the price, and it's nice for him just to mavata and say the finishers are in, I don't mind, you can take it. But for him to say, look, yeah, I have ownership there, give me what the going rate is if you want to use this. Okay, give me the going rate. That is a Beinoni person, and therefore he has the right to
sign up all the neighbors on those forms
if they see the tokenets, if they see what you're doing and they sign on it and you start building before they retract, then you're covered. But if they retract before you start building, then it doesn't mean that they've given up their rights. Okay. Therefore, it's very limited in price, correct? But you still need my permission, because I still own it.
You still own it?
I still own it, like you said, according to the majority of what it is. Now, you may end up in a basin which holds that it's only to those rights, but it's taking a chance, because law of body didn't hold it, belongs to everybody. Okay.
Even if it belongs to everybody, it's worth
it. Do you want a teaser for next week?
You want a teaser?
Wait a minute.
And I forget about when
you walk in. Isn't it enough? Why were you talking about a case of a halal that's under the building? She's not the durable case. all the cases that do exist.
Halal underneath, not just the building, under all the restrictions of the building. Not just right underneath your apartment.
Well, people are selling apartments all the time. As if
you can think about this other thing.
Part of the apartment is a halal, which is dropped off by a wall.
Not sure if I talk about it, but you can think about it. This is that. What happens if a girl is done?
Yeah.
A girl.
Lottery.
On a safer term. Yeah. And after the girl's been done, somebody's zotan, he's been told he's been zotan getting that prize. You find another 20 tickets which never puts into the.
Sort of like elections.
Propaganda.
I probably won't speak about this, but you can think about
it.